Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and it's the 7th of November, 2023, so thank you for being with us today, or if you're listening on the archives, wherever you got that, we archive everywhere. Thank you so much for being here today. Our home website is ace-ed.org, and every podcast we've ever done is over there, including our magazine, our new editorial programs, everything you could think of, our equity and excellence in equity awards programs, et cetera, our magazine, all the podcasts at ace-ed.org. And by the way, everything is free over there at our American Consortium for Equity in Education, of which our Education Talk Radio is the voice. And if you're interested in all this, I hope you go over there and check it out. Again, I always like to emphasize, there's no tricks. Everything over there is free for educators. Please just check it out. It's enjoyable. We work hard to keep it enjoyable and nice. I'm going to bring on my guest because he's a busy man these days. He's been with us before, Dr. Rob Furman, my old friend. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, how you doing, Larry?
you sound very New York right there. Hey, how you doing, Larry? You sound good.
It's been a while, buddy. It's good to hear from you.
How you doing, Richie? Yeah, I remember that from it. Was that movie? How you doing, Richie? Right. Rob's in Pittsburgh, by the way, right outside of Pittsburgh. And he just made a change from public school to charter school. I love this. And we're going to talk about this in detail. Let me introduce you. A lot of people know Rob. He's an influencer out there in education. He's an author. We talked about his books. He's a keynote speaker at many, many conferences and all that sort of thing. And he just took a job. He left the principalship of a school in South Park, PA, or was it South Park Junior High? What was it? I can't remember now. Which was where was
South Park, Pennsylvania? Yeah.
South Park,
it was an
Pennsylvania.
Elementary center.
I won't get into that. We know about this.
Yeah.
And he became and he became the chief operating officer. I love this at a charter school, Young. And again, right. Note that title, chief operating officer at Young Scholars, which is, I believe, a chain. We're going to talk about that of charter schools. And Rob is the COO at Young Scholars of Western Pennsylvania outside of Pittsburgh. We're going to talk about. I'll just ask the question. How'd you make that transmission? You can see what's on my
transition.
Mind. Transition. Yeah, how's your transmission? Okay. I hope it's good. All right. But transition.
Well, my
eventually, Rob, I'll be able to talk like a normal human being, but not for the next 5 minutes. So I'll let you do the talking. Okay. This is really cool. And it's good. Wait, I got to say something. I'm going to keep interrupting you for the next few minutes. A lot of public educators don't like charter schools. And I'll tell you, I'm getting old, and whenever I use these words around my family, everything's changing. The truth of the matter is everything's changing, okay?
Right.
The old song goes, it ain't your father's Oldsmobile anymore. They don't even make Oldsmobiles anymore. But my point
talk about
is,
that transmission, right?
You ain't kidding that transmission, okay? but my point is, okay, everything's changing, and education's changing, too, in K-12 and higher ed, okay, which is going to be going through immense changes over the next few years. So all this, we got to really look at this, and Rob is I'll say it very simply, he's always been a public school guy, and I can tell you right now he still advocates public schools, but he's working at a charter school, which to me is just fine to take that experience, move it over to something new and exciting, and I think that's great. Okay, Rob, how was the transition?
Well,
the
transition was fantastic, Larry.
Yeah, talk about it.
And you know what? It was an interesting move at the time. I was looking for something a little different, something a little exciting, sort of re-spark, especially after the COVID debacle and all that kind
of
stuff. I was looking for something exciting, and you know what? As somebody who preaches being on the edge, which I do, and being avant-garde and looking for the new and the latest and the greatest, I ran into this charter school. And the things that happen here are exciting, and it's a whole different experience than a public school. And as a public school person, as you know, for over 20 some years,
absolutely,
I was one of those people that did have sort of my nose in a joint about charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
But in hindsight, I'm not really sure why. I really can't, now that I'm here, I don't know why I felt that way. I think it's maybe a little bit of ignorance, not knowing, you know, why a charter school's your point, you know, of having this. I think public schools look at us as competitors.
They
maybe
do.
To some extent we are, but we don't have
you
to
are.
Be.
That's okay.
You know,
competition, like, competition makes you better. Competition doesn't make you
absolutely.
Worse.
Absolutely. It truly does.
Yeah. People don't understand
it truly
that.
Does. And yeah, and at the end of the day, if you as a true educator want what's best for children and you want the best education for children, it really shouldn't matter what four walls they're inside and what brick and mortar system they're dealing
good
with
point.
In order to get what's best for them. You know, the schools in Pennsylvania pretty much all follow the same standards. We're all teaching this very similar, if not identical stuff. If we do it a little bit better than another district and the parents see that and want what's best for their kids, why should anybody have a problem with that? Honestly, you know, charter schools have the charter, so they all have this little focus too. Like my school's focus is world languages. So you know, if you're a parent and you're into cultural diversity and all those type of different things, and you run into us and you're like, I want that for my kid. Why should any educator fault a parent for that? You know, idea of. Of choice, absolutely. So, you know, when you sort of calm down and you realize that charter schools aren't out to get you, you know, and charter schools are just exactly what we use. It's a choice. It's an option. Why would that be a bad thing for any adult to consider for their kid? You know, if we're all truly advocating for children, there's enough space around to help all of these kids, because every kid's different. Maybe we do something a little better than the public school down the road. Maybe not. And that would be the parents to learn about us and learn about the different systems and sort of, you know, make that decision based on what's best for their kid.
Yeah, and it's kind of, if I may, you know, public schools, I'm an advocate of public schools, everybody, but they are a bureaucracy.
Yep.
They are a bureaucracy. There's nothing you can do about that. Okay, and I like to think that, and I'm not sure about this because I'm sure there's some bureaucracy in every company, but charter schools are act, if I may, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, just by your title, I think I'm right. Rob is COO, Chief Operating Officer. They operate in a more corporate way. They and I know a lot of people who works in corporations are going to say, well, that's pretty much a bureaucracy too, but there is a difference. But there is a difference, and, you know, they can act a little faster and make changes a little faster, et cetera. And to me, that's a very important thing these days, and I'll say it again, competition is good. Competition
right.
makes you
and,
work harder, except
right.
itself and, for the Steelers and the Pirates. Other than that, okay, the competition
that's
is
right.
good. Yeah.
Competition can be good. And I heard that, too, when I was in the public ed arena that you know, charter schools operate on a business. They're maybe even they're here trying to make money, those type of things. And now that I'm in the system and have been for a short period of time, that's actually kind of a fallacy. Like we do have certain business oriented titles, but I will say it was the districts that I've been involved with ran more like a business than the school I'm sitting in right now.
Well, that's interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, truly, truly. It was harder to get things passed, like you said. When I came in here, there was a couple things that I thought would benefit the school. After I had a conversation with my boss and I explained it to him and he agreed, it didn't take but 2 weeks to really implement that whole system. In a school district, it would take months because every decision has to go through
That's
these
what
nine
I mean.
Board members. And those nine
That's what
board
I mean.
Members become very politically motivated. We don't have –
They are.
It really feels in our system that we don't have the politics. And we can, like you said, get things done a little faster. But that doesn't change the fact that it still has to be in good practice. Like, I can't go order a hot tub for the back of the gymnasium, you know, for the teachers. Those type of things aren't going to happen. It still has to be in good practice. But
don't kid yourself.
I don't,
and these days, it might be a great way to recruit people. Okay, come to our
seriously,
hot tub.
Right?
Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
Nuts out there. They get good teachers.
That's it. But if you know if your logic is sound and you've always had the kids' best interest in education in mind, you don't have to go through all the red tape like you did in public schools. And here's the thing, and again, I am a huge advocate of public schools and charter schools.
Are.
I'm a huge advocate of schools. Like, I
Bingo.
Don't care where you go,
Thank
as long
you.
As you're getting what's
yeah.
best for your kid, call it whatever you want to call it. But with that being said, you know, In one of my books, my Future Ready Challenge book, I talk about how public schools were created in, 1862, I think it is, from the Committee of Ten, and we really haven't changed that much. As a system, as an organization, public schools haven't really changed that much.
Yeah.
Charter schools aren't as old. So I think a lot of times we have the ability to look on public schools and say, well, they've been doing this for a long time. Maybe it's not working that way, and we can pivot a lot easier than a public school system can. So, you know, we are able to create a focus. We are able to get things done and be a little more avant-garde in our systems because we may not have the years and years and lineage of a public school, which might not necessarily be a bad thing right now.
I agree with you. I want to switch. Tell me about, well, I want to ask, I want you to tell me about your school, you know, the usual, the demographics, what it's like, how many teachers, how many kids, that sort of thing. But also, I'm curious, you're a chief operating officer. I'm going to ask you a simple question. Does that mean you're the principal? Is that what that means?
No. No. It's and
what
and
does it mean? COO?
It's hard to say because I think when I got here, the delineation changed a little bit. I answer to the CEO, and he's sort of a superintendent type. I would be second to him, but we also have a principal and an assistant principal in the building. So there's
wow.
several administrators for this one building of 300 and I think we have 310 some students here, K to 8. So there's a lot of administration, a lot of adults, which, you know, we all know is not a bad thing when you got, you know, the ability to work in smaller functioning groups with adults and children.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the ability to do those things, which has been wonderful. We're a very diverse school. We pull
nice.
From districts from 10 miles around us. So we have students anywhere from you know, Upper St. Clair to Stowe Rocks. We have a large portion comes from the city of Pittsburgh. We also have some students from my previous school, South Park, Bethel Park, West Mifflin. So we're sort of all over the area here. But that really makes it kind of neat because all of these kids sort of bring a little part of their demographic to us. So, you know, we
That's
have
right.
students that I think we have like, we have several different languages that are represented here, and we teach kids. The kids get Spanish. They get Turkish. They have an exploratory program that touches all sorts of different cultural things from Spanish music to Turkish foods to robotics and all the STEM-related stuff. We have a rock band study where we have kids learning the drum set, the guitar, the bass, the keys, and they put on a whole rock band show to Foley work, like what they do in the movies. So you know, we have a lot of exciting things that are going on here that probably would have been next to impossible to get started in a more public setting, especially it would have taken probably a year.
Rob?
Yes, sir.
Oh, absolutely. I lost you. You said it would take a year and I felt like you went off. I got you. Okay, no problem.
Okay.
What's the physical plan? Where did they put the school and how old is it?
The building's been here for longer than we have. Well, we've been here for, I believe, 11 years. We're just about 10 minutes outside of downtown Pittsburgh. If you're familiar with the Pittsburgh area, you come right out the Liberty Tubes and we're about 5 miles up the road. We're in a district called Baldwin, which is
mm-hmm.
also a
yeah.
wonderful school district in and of itself. A dear friend of mine works there. So we're just outside the city, and that's we get a large portion of our kids, probably half of our kids come from the city of Pittsburgh.
And what is – and I'm trying to figure this out. I want people to understand this.
Sure.
And I also want to ask you about the world language thing. But before I forget, mm-hmm. when you're COO, I think you mm-hmm. said that would be like being an assistant superintendent. Is that a good way to put it? And my curiosity is in a school of 800 kids, okay? And again, you, young scholars, again, it's a chain, right? If I may, a corporation that has schools. How many schools do they have? Do you know?
We have, I think there's three schools here. There's one up in Penn State area, I believe, and then there's one about a half hour away from us in McKeesport, and then us. So I think there's three.
Good old McKeesport.
I know the two. Yeah, the two yeah. here are affiliated. I'm not 100% certain about the one that's up in State College, but I know the one in McKeesport and us, we actually share a school board.
And who are the school board parents? Who are the school boards? I'm glad you brought
They're parents and representatives of both schools. So I think there's like two or three from one and two or three from the other. We meet just like, you know, any other school board, like once a month. Most of our things are virtual because of distance. And all of that runs very, very similarly to what I've experienced in the public system.
It's a little bit longer, though,
because we actually run two meetings.
Yeah, you know, that, I mean, we were kidding earlier, you know, that movie, there was a movie many, many years ago that was very cute called Lovers and Other Strangers, and Richard Castellano, okay, kept having a repeat line in it, said, what's the problem, Richie? What in a real heavy Italian accent? What's the problem, Richie? And, you know, when you describe the way you work in the school K-8, okay, and right. people complain or look at askance at charter schools, which I do not. Look askance at them, okay? And, right. You know, I got to say, what's the problem, Richie? There isn't any.
Yeah.
There isn't any problem. Okay? It's working, we hope. And let me ask you this, okay, which is tough, okay? Would you see a downside? Okay, is there any downside that you see that you would like to change or just noticed right off the bat? And I don't think you're seeing any, but I just want to ask the question.
I don't know what the downside
would be. Yeah.
I don't know if I would call it a downside as much as probably the challenge.
Okay,
the challenge that I see for charter schools is some of the misconceptions that are out there and the need for parents to know that this is actually a very realistic, very viable, possibly one hell of a benefit to your kid type of option. And that's, I think, the challenge –